This is the Jason Gregor Show.
That ball is gone!
He shoots and scores!
Wow!
They score! A power play goal!
The Jason Gregor Show, powered by Mr. Lube, Canada's leader in car maintenance, on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260.
Fantastic Friday afternoon. How are you? Welcome to the show. Pause of Friday? Well, unless you're a Preds fan. Wow! Who saw that coming? Not I. I thought it would be more competitive than the Blues-Stars game, and turns out it was basically the same type of domination. 5-0 victory for the San Jose Sharks. And they move on. The Sharks and the Blues, both into the conference final. And should be a hell of a series. Very much looking forward to it. It gets going on Sunday. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh will start tonight. Who you like in that series, Mr. Mark Mageau?
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I've gone against the Lightning in every single series, and I'm not going to change it now. I think the Penguins right now, the goaltending they're getting from Matt Murray, Crosby, Malkin, they're getting offense from the right places. I like the Penguins. And I just, too, I've picked against the Lightning in every single series, so I'm going to continue with that trend. I don't dislike the Lightning. I just like the Penguins a little bit more. How about yourself?
Well, I am probably going to lean to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They just beat the best team in the league. Now, I'm not sure Tampa Bay is going to gift them two goals that lead directly to game winners, but still, the Penguins look good right now. Although, I will still probably stick with the West to win the cup. The Blues is who I picked at the start. And I've had a lot of text messages from people saying, Gregor, the first year you don't pick the Sharks, look where they're going. Hey, hey, hey. This is not the first time the Sharks have been in the conference final, people. It's the third time in 8 years. Difference being, they've never won the third round. And I am not picking them to win the third round. I will stick with the St. Louis Blues. We'll find out what happens. Should be a very good series. Looking forward to it. Got to think a lot of excitement, but still, here is the difficult part of the NHL playoffs. You have two teams, two organizations now that get to the third round, and if they don't win, they're still going to be looked upon as a disappointment. Like, how foolish is that? Right? Like, how crazy is it? Sharks can't get it done. Oh, Blues can't get it done. I don't know. I think they beat some pretty good teams to get here. Now, we'll see what happens. Hey, they've knocked off the two teams that won 5 of the last 6 cups. I'd say they've done all right. So we will find out what happens. But here's a fun little tidbit of information for you, Mash. In the last 48 hours of NHL playoffs, we've seen the Stars get crushed by 5 and the Nashville Predators also lose by 5. Did you know it was the 102nd game of the season for both teams? Because Dallas played one more exhibition game than Nashville did, and Nashville played one more playoff game. But that was each their 102nd game of the season.
They're both a little tired out, it appears.
Nashville had not lost by 5 goals in any game all season. They had lost 4-0 once and 5-1 loss. Those were the only two times they lost by 4. Never lost by 5. the Dallas Stars, up until this series against the St. Louis Blues, had also never lost a game by 5 goals all season long. They lost by 4, but never by 5. They did lose to the Blues twice by 5. So you play 100, you're Nashville, you play 101 games. You're going into that game. There is no chance you're thinking, wow, we're going to get spanked 5-0. Like, no chance. And, oh, by the way, Shea Weber and Roman Yossi are going to be on the ice for all 5 goals. Really? But it happened. Like,
why don't people treat Shea Weber the same way they treat Alex Ovechkin? He's a captain that's never made the conference finals.
Hey, come on now. But that wouldn't be a good narrative, right? No. Shea Weber's won Olympic gold, right? That's honestly, that's going to be their argument. Oh, no. He was on the gold medal winning team. He's a winner. But Ovechkin, no, he's a loser. He's, you know, even though he was on the ice this year in the playoffs for 19 goals and 5 against. It's pretty good. Really good, actually. But evidently, in some people's eyes, not good enough. Right? I don't really understand it. But now I will say this, that it's less and less this year. And I haven't really seen any competent writer. I've seen a few little suggestions that, you know, Ovechkin isn't, you know, he isn't a great leader. And I'm like, well, what else can you do as a leader? You're plus 14 goals for, goals against when you're on the ice. Your team's minus 7 when you're not on the ice. Right? You're hitting, you're scoring, you're outscoring the other team's best players. You're not getting scored against. What else can you do as a leader? Like, honestly, I think it's one of the biggest fallacies in sports is that a great leader somehow make everyone around them way better. Well, look at Ovechkin. 19 goals, 4 or 5 against. How much better can you get than that when he's on the ice? He can't control other people when they're on the ice. He can't. Now, if he could, that'd be unbelievable talent. Then he probably wouldn't be in hockey. I'd be using that talent elsewhere for more important things. But I look at it, hey, Washington, good team. It's disappointing that they lost. There's no doubt about it. Disappointing for them. The season they had, but they lost to a team that's been unreal since December 21st, right? You look, they finished the season 33-12-5. And they won 33 of their final 50 regular season games, and now they're 8-3. You win 41 out of 61 games? Yeah, that's pretty good. 41 out of 61. I'd say that's pretty good. So, I don't see much negative in Washington. I'm not sure I see the need to make major changes. What I see there is a need to just get a little bit more depth on their blue line. And it illustrates how hard it is to win. That's what, to me, it shows. How fine the line is. Now, I didn't expect the Stars to win that series. But to get crushed in Game 7 the way they did, ouch. Same with the Predators. Their whole season. Now your final game is just a complete ass-kicking. It's not good at all. Not good at all. Hey, Gregor, I don't care how many goals Ovi was on for. How many goals did he score in that series? Crosby outscored him. Figure it out. I'm sick of your excuses for Ovechkin, Dale. Well, Dale, if you're going to use my term, you need to use it correctly. Figure it out. Second of all, Sidney Crosby had no goals in the series. He had 2 assists. Malkin had 1 goal and 1 assist. So they combined for 1 goal and 3 assists. Combined. Ovechkin had 2 goals and 5 assists. So he had 7 points. Those two had 4. Feel free to chirp. Be better in your chirps. Know your facts. Because those are the facts. Ovechkin wasn't the issue for Washington. And it's not like, you know, they played horribly. I just looked, the difference to me in the series was Pittsburgh's blue line depth was better. And it did not make the glaring mistakes that Washington's defense depth did. And that's where their GM's likely going to have to make some moves. He's got to improve his third pairing, right? Hell, could you imagine if Oilers fans were saying that? That'd be unbelievable. Right? Well, we got a good first pair. We got a pretty solid second pair. Well, we need better third pair. The one thing the Oilers have had, they've had a lot of third pairs. They've never had a first pair in a long time. So it kind of illustrates, and I think as bad as the last decade has been for Oilers fans, it also shows you just how lucky and everything went well in 2006. Like, it is hard to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Extremely difficult. And it's crazy when you think about it that the Edmonton Oilers could do it for 1 year, when so many other teams who have consistently been better for long periods of time can't get it done. It's nuts. Now, a lot of things went right for the Oilers that year. They had the upset and every other. The 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds all lost in the first round. Right? You kind of forget that. But it's true. In the West, 1, 2, 3, and 4 all out in the first round. It's kind of an advantage. That's what makes the playoffs so great every year. So great. Is the fact that you don't know. A lot of people, oh yeah, the Kings. And I thought the Kings looked really good. They got crushed by the Sharks in the first round. It wasn't really close in that series. And now the Penguins, Matt Murray comes in. Maybe he's the Ken Dryden and the Patrick Roy of 2016. We'll find out. Can he win 2 more rounds? Hey, Gregor, I agree with you. On the defense, also, I think the difference was the third line of the Penguins. That one comes from Mike in Mill Woods. Mike, I would agree with you. And it's funny, Phil Kessel on the third line, not bad. Not bad third line. You have Kunitz and Malkin on the other line, then you got Crosby on the other line. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Hey, Gregor, tell us your thoughts about blowing up the core. Well, hey, my thoughts on that, I've always said, I don't consider it blowing it up, because I've always said, I don't blame the Oilers 7 years in a row of postseason, I guess it's 10, I know, but since the Hall and the core guys appear, it's been 6, actually, but the 7th year allowed them to draft Hall. I don't blame them. I've said that. I look at Hall and Nugent, Hopkins, and Eberle. Are there areas of their game they can improve? Of course. Of course there are. But their deficiencies aren't the reason the Oilers have been 30th, 30th, 29th, 28th, 28th, 24th, 29th. Right? It's not. It's the deficiencies of the management to not even give them remotely competent or experienced teammates. Now, I understand you have to trade one of them, because the only way this team can improve is if they get better defense. And now they have enough skilled forwards. They have enough. But look at the teams. Hedman, Letang, Petrangelo, Burns. What do they all have in common? They all have a legit, proven, guaranteed number one defenseman. That's what they have. The Oilers don't have that. Now, I don't think they can get that in a trade. I think it's very difficult to get that guy in a trade. But they can get a number two and then hope that some of their own guys, maybe Klefbom becomes that guy. If he stays healthy, maybe he can be Hedman. I don't know. He's got a lot of potential. Maybe Darnell Nurse can be that guy in a few years. Right? Like, Brett Burns was not a number one defenseman when he was 20 or 21 or 22 or 23. Right? He got traded. So, to me, I wouldn't blow up the core. I just think you have to make, and making one trade of them isn't blowing it up. You're trading them not because they're bad players, but because you need to improve your defense. And the only way to do it, if you want to make a significant move, is to give up something significant. And it might be painful in some people's eyes, but I think that pain would evaporate very quickly if you see results. Simple. Whether it's Nugent Hopkins or Eberle or Hall, although I don't see them trading Hall because I just don't see a team willing to give up a player that I would need to trade at Taylor Hall. Just my own opinion. And Eberle could go score 30 goals somewhere else. 25 for sure. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, he's proven he's a 50-point player. He could go be a 60-point player, maybe even a 70-point player somewhere else. And someone might say, well, geez, look at what he could. But you know what? If you got a good defenseman and the Oilers were a better overall team, I don't think you'd care. I don't think it would matter. On the program today, We'll talk a little Jays, of course. We'll talk Raptors, Game 6, which we'll have tonight on TSN 1260. And Game 7, if necessary, basketball fans, will happen Sunday afternoon, 1:30 Edmonton time, that game as well. We'll be here on TSN 1260. We will have Craig Button, as we always do. Kyle Brozniak. I like the superstitious guys. You get them on the show, when they win a round, they text you right after winning the second round. Hey, we doing that again? Well, of course we will. So Kyle Brozniak on the show before Game 1, which is Sunday, as the Blues now take on the San Jose Sharks. Do they fear the beard? Who knows? Some pretty good beards in San Jose. Some pretty good beard. I would give them the beard advantage for sure in this series. Also, we will have Nick Sakowicz, the commish of the NLL. I know a lot of lacrosse fans are curious, a lot of rumblings. Edmonton getting an expansion team. We will find out about that. As always, we'll take your texts at 10-12-60. You can dial us up 444-1260 or email us in our SLH inbox, Gregor at tsn1260.ca. So, yay, you're listening to The Gregor Show, presented by Mr. Lube, Canada's leader in car maintenance.